At least what I want to tell you today is about the changing state of openness in Android. Still not my slides here. We are working on it. So changing states, changing state of openness in Android. Some words about me. I'm Stephen Lengfeld. I'm an embedded software developer based in Germany, here living in Cologne. I'm doing Linux embedded systems and Android embedded systems. I also do occasionally Linux kernel work. I kind of specialized in build systems and also specialized in the Linux and Android graphics stacks. And lately, I've done a lot of performance and tracing, especially the Android graphics stack and app performance in general, where I'm doing a lot of performance analysis and also fixes. Check out the bouncy castle, if it's still there. So InnoX, my company, is a partner of Roscon. And this year, we are sponsoring the two bouncy castles. And my kids already enjoyed it last year and this year. Yeah. Main takeaway from the talk. No really silver buzzword thingy I have to show you, but the takeaway is that you should get a good understanding of what is going on in Android this year, and what's happening last year and this year. I have a lot of links in my slides to the references, so blog posts and other material. If you want to follow that right now, here's the QR code you can scan, and then you have a copy of the slides. Also go to the URL, Stephan Lengfeld, XYZ, slidespdf.com. So one thing I want to do is to add my clock. So, contents of my talk. So first, we have to do some background. So just to set the scene right for every terms I will talk about. Then I will talk about the changes that are done to the AOSP, Android Open Source Project. And then I will talk about the changes done to Android. And these terms I will be explain in 1 minute. And also, we will talk about community reaction and other changes. Where's my information based on? So I'm personally working on Android-based projects since 2018. My first Android platform was Android 8, now kind of 10 years old. And I worked on various devices. I worked on the Pixel 2 device from Google, RIM 3 as a development board, HiKey as a development board, and also on custom hardware by the projects I'm working in. And the project scaled from two-person teams to multiple team projects. So small projects and really, really big and long-running projects. And other source of information, I'm being part of the AOSP Devs community. This is a community where we share knowledge about AOSP platform development. And there I'm doing a newsletter since 2025. This appears monthly, so I'm looking what is going on in the Android space and summarize it. And there my information and links are all based on. So let's dive into the background. What are the players in the Android ecosystem? This is a traditional image you maybe already have seen. It's from the Project Rebel. This shows how the source code releases flow through the different players in the Android ecosystem. So on the upper left, it starts with the Android release that is done by Google. This release source code is then passed on to the device silicon manufacturers or SoC vendors like Qualcomm, MediaTek, Intel. They add a lot of kernel drivers and hardware implementations. Then this source code is passed to device manufacturers. These device manufacturers are then building the actual phone hardware, for example, Samsung, Xiaomi, Fairphone. And these add a lot of additional stuff into the source code. And then this source code and device is given to the carriers. And the carriers then give the phone to the actual end users. So this is the normal source code flow in the normal players in the Android ecosystem. Now we look there a bit more in details. So again, we have the Google team that is providing the source code, working on the source code. Then we have the SoC vendors, system on chip vendors, Qualcomm, Intel, Samsung, MediaTek, Rockchip, and TI, and some others. Again, device manufacturers, Samsung, Motorola, Xiaomi, Fairphone. But Android nowadays wants and also additional devices. So in the same bucket, for example, we have German car manufacturers or other car manufacturers in the world that are using a special kind of Android that is called Android Automotive and AOS. And these are also players in the field. And also Android runs on a different size of devices, for example, TVs and smartwatches. And for smartwatches, there's Android Wear OS from Google. Another part in the ecosystem are app developers. These are writing the applications that run on the Android devices. And then we also have you guys and the end users of the Android certified devices. So if you have an Android phone with the official Android trademark on it, that is a certified device. We come to that in a bit in a moment. Another part in the ecosystem and also things are changing are the custom ROM developers. They are not affiliated with Google, so for example, Lineage OS, EOS, Catalyx OS, Graphene OS, they build custom operating systems based on AOSP for phones. There are also additional players. For example, the customers I work on often builds devices that run AOSP, but on different kinds of form factors, for example, on cars or on point of sales terminals. And other devices, for example, tablets. Also, for example, Amazon Fire OS is based on Android, but not officially Android, so not affiliated with Android. And then we have the other kind of end users. These are using these devices, the de-Googled Android phones. So they are using a custom version of AOSP without the Google features. And they are using the non-Android certified devices. So these are the players we will touch upon in all the talk. What does it mean to have an Android certified device? So for example, Fairphone or Xiaomi, if they produce a phone, they first must fulfill the Android compatibility definition document with some requirements. They must run a test suite on their device, so the actual implementation they provide on the operating system called CTS, VTS. And after that, if they fulfill both, then they can apply for an Android partnership. So go to Google and sign a contract and provide the information of their device and that their device is compliant. If they have a compliant device, then they get the Google mobile services. That is the Play Store, Gmail, YouTube, and the other Google apps you maybe have on your phone. So with that, so then you have a device that supports push notifications. These are required by a lot of apps to get incoming updates, for example, message apps. And also on these devices, you have then Google Play Integrity. This is a feature where an app developer can ask if I run on a non-bricked, non-opened, non-Valinder thingy device. And that is sometimes done for banking apps or wallet apps. And we will come to that later. And also the device then has the Google apps for Android. And if you have that, then you can call your device Android certified device. And if you do not go through the process, you have a not Android certified device. And you cannot call that device Android. You cannot put the Android trademark on that. One important thing I want to stress is here is that Android really does not means Android open source project. That are different things, or one I want to explain here. So for Android or for Google, as the open source term is really meant literal and not as an open source community where everyone collaborates together on one open source project. That is not the case. So AOSP means you have access to the source code, but the steering and development and the decisions of the platform of the OS are done internally by Google, and only four times a year, a big code drop is pushed out to the Android open source project Git servers. And that's it. That's the kind of open source Android and Google means for Android. So really, development is internal, decisions are internal, steering is internal. Nothing like, for example, like the Linux kernel or other open source projects. code contributions, actual code, submitting patches is possible via Garrett instance, and you have to sign an agreement to apply to give over the copyright. It's possible, but limited in practice. So this really not took off, that we have a lot of ASP developers pushing patches to ASP. What also means for Google open source that some parts are released as open source. As said, the Android platform is released as open ASP. Also the Jetpack libraries, Android X libraries app developers use in their example app in their applications are open source. You can read the source code, build it yourself. Android Studio is actually kind of open source. So the code is out there on the ASP Git servers and updated every few months. And also the Linux kernel, or the patched Linux kernel by Google, the Android COM kernel, is actually open source. You can download and use and build yourself and see the development. Other parts in the Android ecosystem are not open source. For example, Android Things, that was an IoT operating system, was never released, so based on ASP, but never released as open source for the end users or device makers. Android Wear OS for smartwatches, also not open source. We have not seen the code. And again, also the Google mobile services you run on your phones, Gmail app, Play Store app, are not open source. You just get the APKs on your phone. So these are the different kinds of open source, what open source means for Google and in the Android ecosystem. As I said, ASP and the ASP platform releases are pushed twice a year, once a year, as open source when the device is released. This is going on since 70 years. Android 2009 was the first Android release, and this really happens. But there was one exception, one interesting exception, 2011. One Android major release was not pushed to ASP and be made open source. This was because this was rushed to market by the Android developers because they needed to catch up on the new tablet market. And this is an ASP release that was not made open source by Google. But this also was the only instance. So Android 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 16 was the last release, is open source, and we can download and run. Except for the other parts, Google mobile services, these are not on the Git servers. With that scene, we can dive into the changes that happens in the last year to ASP, so the open source part of the Android OS. So mostly, this is mostly now interesting for the ASP platform developers that work on Android devices or on custom ROMs. What happened is that in 2025, there's no ASP main anymore. This means some projects in ASP were not developed really internally by Google and then made open source once a year, but they were really developed in open on the Git servers free available. This has changed in March. So now all open source projects, all Git repositories are really just pushed once a year for ASP. This harms the ASP, other ISP developers. Also, March, April, no more Apex mainline modules source code releases to ASP. Apex and mainline modules are security fixes Google is pushing to Android devices apart from the device manufacturer to get faster security updates onto your devices. Previously, they released the source code of these fixes. Now this is not the case anymore. In June, Android 16 was dropped on the Git servers, but without pixel support. Normally, the Android or Google pixel devices had full source code drop, except some binary blobs, full source code drops on ASP. So we as developers could build our own operating system for our pixel phones. For example, I used in my first ASP project the pixel devices as a reference board. This is not the case anymore. We cannot build for pixel devices in ASP anymore. This was dropped. Also, August, September, quarterly instead of monthly security releases to ASP. Previously, every month, we had a bunch of source code releases on the security stable branches. This is now changed to quarterly security releases, and only high risk issues per month are needed to be patched by device manufacturers. What this means, normally every month a device manufacturer had to make a security release, security binary built for the devices. Now mostly only every 3 months they need to build their custom version of Android for the devices to fix all available and all publicly known security issues. This means lesser work for SoC vendors and device manufacturers. And also what's also happened is a feature degradation of Android Code Search. This is a tool used heavily by AOSP developers to get information about the Android source code. And also another change in 2026 in January, since the last 2-3 years, we had a major Android release four times a year, where the source code was dropped on the Git servers. This is now not the case anymore. We only have 2 of these source code drops from Google to public per year. Important about the security fixes. So the security fixes are shared with the partners, so people that build Android certified devices before they are released to AOSP, and so before they are made publicly available to everyone on the planet. Why do we know this? Because Graphino, as developers, talked about that. We have early access to Android security bulletin patches, and they will help to set up a workflow where we can release already built and tested prior to the embargo ended. What does this mean? Normally, every month, all the existing security patches made public and then fixed and pushed to the devices. Now this happens only every 3 months, but the errors and fixes or problems are known to all the partners because they have access to the internal branches from Google. So the time window of exploitation of these bugs increased from 1 month to, or some weeks to up to 3 months. Why does Graphino S, as a custom ROM developer, has access to internal AOSP branches or patches? I think mostly because they announced a partnership with Motorola to bring Graphino S on Motorola devices, and Motorola has a partnership with Google. So this is my thing why I think they have access to the internal security branches and patches before we as outsiders see them. We talked a lot about things that were removed or reduced as openness in Android. Now there's something new that is made open by Google. It's some new code by AOSP building an open AAOS ecosystem. AOS stands for Android Automotive Operating System. So this was announced in March, beyond infotainment, extending Android Automotive OS for the software-defined vehicle, la 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 la. And yeah, Google released this new kind of stack where they think the OS and the different screens and devices and hypervisors in cars should work. They worked on an implementation of that with hypervisors, and they made this open source and public. And this was done in June 2026, so some 2 months ago, with Android 17 and pushed to AOSP. Summary of these changes. So things are closed down, some things are opened up. My take is that Google had to or has to cut costs or cut it costs on maintaining AOSP in 2025. Some of the background in 2025, it was not really clear whether Google was keeping up with the iBoom. So in that time, Gemini was not one of the best performing LLMs out there. So kind of the company focused heavily on pushing out going to AI stuff. So they search for things to cut costs. And everything I've showed was work Google engineers had to do to make something open source and public, and this was reduced. And yeah, okay, it's bad for the non-certified Android device builders and users. So for example, custom ROM developers, Graphino S could build Pixel devices very easily because Pixel devices were fully supported in AOSP. Now it requires a lot of efforts, but it's only for the non-certified Android devices and the outsiders that are affected. The Android partners or people working on Android certified devices, they're not really not really have not cut down on these changes because they have access to internal branches. They even have to do less work because of the delayed security fixes. And so my takeaway is really, yeah, AOSP, the open source part of Android, is not the product for Google in the first place. Android's the product, so Android phones with Play Store on that, that is the product. That cannot be cut, but the open source part of Android, yeah, it's not the product. There they can cut costs and do less work, but keeping up the Android ecosystem alive. One thing I want to point out, there's Karim from Opusys. In October last year, they did a Reading the Tea Leaves talk on YouTube, where he also tried to fit together all the things are changing and combine them with the AI and LLM stuff. Okay. This was the changes for AOSP platform developers and custom ROM builders and what they have to face and what they change. Now we go to the elephant in the room, Android developer verification. And this is for the Android app developers and end users of the phones, so matters to the end users of the phones. So we all, if you have Android phones and not iPhones. So, Android developer verification. This is my one-down list of all blog posts and things that happened. So, this started in August last year, where Google posted a new layer of security for Android certified devices, where they explained that one, they want to introduce Android developer verification. In September, F-Droid made the statement, free F-Droid and Google's developer registration degree. So yeah, F-Droid and the open source community are opposed these new, to introduce this explicit registration. But this thing continued in September, so what, just one day late, Google published a blog post, so explaining more details. Let's talk about security, answering your top questions about Android developer verification. So they started to go into more detail how this thing will work out. And also they did a podcast about it, Android developer verification, in the Android Backstage podcast. In October, F-Droid, what we talk about when we talk about sideloading, and also in that date, as they initiated a community call out called Keep Android Open. You mostly have seen to combine all the forces of the open source community to have a say and to try to stop that required registration. Nevertheless, it continued in November. Android developer verification early access started now as we continue to build with your feedbacks. And there they started their Android developer console. And they also give a walkthrough, Android developer verification walkthrough. So the Google continued, and also the Keep Android Open F-Droid opponent continues. Again, it continued in February, open letter opposing Android developer verification, and also in March, from Google, Android developer verification, balancing openness and choice with safety. So they try to balance here these things they see. And also in July, just one month above, F-Droid, what we talk about when we talk about malware. We will come to that a bit later. And also Lineage OS in July posted a detailed blog post about the changes and what it means for the Lineage OS community. And also here I have the link for more details from Google. Okay, that is for the timeline. What happened? Now go into detail. So what? Now we know how Android developer verification works. So all apps that are installed on an Android certified device, all apps are checked on installation time. And important point is here, including apps from third-party app stores. So Samsung App Store and Aptitude App Store, F-Droid App Store. ADB installs. ADB is used as the Android debug bridge used for developers if they want to build Android devices. This is not blocked. So you can still develop on any device. app developers who are not already on Google Play, so the really the open source developers, must register on a new platform, and this is called Android Developer Console, and they register their account, and then they must accept the terms of services provided by Google, and that is already some kind of no-go for some of the open source community. And app developers must claim the package name now, because not two people at the same time can have the same package name, and Google envisioned a conflict resolution on that. And there will be two types of distributions. So there will be a limited distribution. They call for hobbyists or for student teacher deployments, and there you can register. You have to not pay a fee, you have not to provide your national ID, but you can only have up to 20 installs of that of your application on devices. If this is not sufficient, you have the full distribution mode, and for that you have to provide a government ID to Google. You also have to provide a DUNOS number, it's some kind of company registration, and also you have to provide a fee of $25. And with that, if you go through the process and provide the necessary data, then your Android application can be installed on all Android certified devices. There will be also an advanced flow. This will include some various checks and also a 20-hour waiting time to go beyond that, so install applications where the app developer has not signed up to Android Developer Console. We will go into detail. This rollout of Android developer verification will be in stages. So August 2026, so now the developer API is ready, limited distribution account is ready, and the advanced flow is ready. Next month, the regional in Brazil, Indonesia, Singapore, and Thailand will be the first regions where this will be active on the Android devices. And we will see how the devices will react. And also, Google says that these regions and country are at most hit by malware spawned by Android applications. So this is the consequence why they introduced that there first. And 2027 and beyond, there will be the global rollout. So then this will also reach our Android certified devices. User's choice in site loading. This is the screenshot from the blog post by Google. So either you site load directly from verified developers, that is the full account saves as signed up, or you site load from the limited distribution accounts, again for students or teachers or hobbyists. And then there will be also the third method, site load from unverified developers with the advanced flow. And yeah. And these are the three options you will have as a user then on your device. How does the advanced flow for the power user looks like? Currently, this is just a checkbox or some permission which pops up. You have to accept, and then apps can be installed from not verified developers. This will be now a lot more complicated or secure. So first, confirm you're not being coached. This is the thing Google wants to combat. So say a lot of users are tricked on scam calls under pressure to install apps, for example, screen sharing apps on their devices. And that is the first step to try to mitigate that. So you are not being coached to do something. You have to then say okay, then you have to restart your phone, you have to re-authenticate, and then after that you have done, you have this 24-hour waiting period. So where you have to sit your device on the table and just wait. And this is maybe the main thing that will break the scams and the people that are under pressure, because if you have to wait one day, you maybe will reach out to colleagues or friends and ask about the scam. And then if you have that done on your device as a power user, then you can enable C settings to install from OnWiFi developers. And it's a bit small, but you can turn it on temporarily for 7 days, or you can turn it on for indefinitely. And then you can again install from OnWiFi developers and not verified app stores. So about the statements from the community, LionOS statements, I've linked the blog post. This goes a lot more into detail, and it's a nice read. So how does this affect LionOS and its users? It will not affect LionOS directly, because LionOS is a not certified Android device. They do not ship GMS. It's the Google mobile services, and this Android developer verification is implemented by GMS. So on a LionOS custom ROM, you will be not affected. But it may affect users running the stock ROM on their device. So if you have your original operating system or install the Google mobile Play services later from another source on your device, then your device will be affected. And they also good summarize why Google, or at least what the storyline is for this change, why is Google doing this? Public justification is fraud and malware prevention. They claim over 50 more malware comes from side-loaded internet resources than from Play Store, and that anonymous disposable developer identities lead bad actors get caught, rebrand, distribute the same malware in hours. They've also pointed out to regulatory pressure, EU DSA, Indian's IT rules, pushing platforms toward developer traceability generally, and frame the rollout order. As said, fraud heavy markets, Brazil, Indonesia, Singapore, Thailand, as evidence, the fraud rationale is the actual driver than a pretext. The other side, keep Android open. Starting in 2027, a silent update non-consensually pushes by Google will block every Android app whose developer hasn't registered with Google. True. Signs a contract. True. Paid up and hand over governor ID. Yes, this will be the case. Every app, every device worldwide with no opt-out. If Google can retroactively lock down billions of devices that were sold as open platforms, Google calls Android as an open platform, every hardware manufacturer on the planet is watching. This is true. Every device we have in our hands that is Google Android certified will get these changes, and we as a device user can do nothing except the advanced flow. Summary, Google developer verification will come. Currently, their keep Android open seems there's not enough pushback against this. So I've seen no move by Google or by other or regulations or other legal entities to say something on that. What is also true, the advanced flow for power users still exists or is created. So we have still the choice after the 24-hour rethinking period if we really want to install this nice open source app. There will be also a lot of unknowns, how it will affect F-Droid and the F-Droid store, because there, I think, mostly the apps will not opt into the advanced flow. And what will happen on my phone, for example, I have a lot of apps from F-Droid. There are still opens, what will happen. And what maybe the most summary is that the Android ecosystem is moving towards the Apple iOS called Wallet Garden ecosystem. There, all app developers must also register with Apple. Yeah, this is true since the beginning of the iOS ecosystem and phone. There was not even a choice for third-party app stores or app developers not having an Apple account. So now, and we have seen regulation pressure on Apple opening up. For example, I think the case with Epic, where now they have third-party app stores on iOS. So they're coming from the one side, and Google is now going to the other side, and they meet in the middle. This is what is currently happening. Okay, but that is not all from the changing things of openness in Android. We have also changes for app stores and Android Assistant APIs I want to highlight that happened in the last year. Not only Epic goes against Apple, but also Epic goes against Google. I've not traced back to the start of this legal battle between these companies. I've linked the Wikipedia entry above, but it took some time to get to a settlement. So there's one quote I want to read out. 2020-24, why Google is appealing to S. Epic Games' verdict. Even so, unlike iOS, Android is an open platform that has always allowed choice and flexibility, like multiple app stores and sideloading. Yeah, they claim Android is an open platform. Yeah, it, and compared to iOS, yes, that's true. It was or is an open platform. It's changing. Nevertheless, there was the legal battle, and the settlement this year in March announced on the Google blog, Android developers, a new era of choice and openness. There will we go into one slide. It's about the app stores. And also, Epic Games published a blog post about this settlement, and just some days ago, we have seen the first app store that is now listed in the Google Play Store. That is part of the settlement, that now you can install app stores, other app stores than Google Play Store inside the Google Play Store. And the first app store is from Aptitude, that is now officially on Google Play. Summary of these changes, I already talked a bit. So other app stores are now installable with the Google Play Store, officially searchable and yeah, allowed. For now, it's just one app store, but it's this is part of the settlement that you can now apply or submit other app stores. Also, Google has reduced the fee app developers have to pay Google for using the Google Play Store. Yeah, and I think it previously was 30% in some cases, and now it's 15%. So really, they reduced the fee on the settlement. And also, what now? Also, Google cannot prohibit or forbid third-party app developers to promote other install methods and paying processes. So previously, I think it was in the term of services that app developers cannot provide other app stores to install apps or other ways to pay. So this is now forbidden from Google's side. Nevertheless, there's a service fee per transaction. So even so, an app like a game from Epic has an in-app buy mechanism that does not go through a Google payments system. Still, they have to pay a fee for every payment. And one asterisk, this only applies to the US market. Yeah, because this legal thing was US only. Another thing that's happened is the EU DMA action. Google needs to open up APIs for third-party app developers. DMA, the Digital Markets Act. Here's the quote, the European Commission adopted a decision under the DMA that requires Alphabet, Google's parent company, to open up 11 Android features, including always-on wake-up word detection, ambient sensor access, screen automation, to all assistants on equal terms. And this will, the target goals for these changes that is that are Google are required to implement are Android 18, so next year, and Google Android 19 in 2 years. Previously, it was the case that third-party assistant or third-party app developers writing assistants had not the same deep integration into the Google or Android platform, so had not access to all APIs or not access to all power saving mechanisms, and under the DMA, this is seen as a not fair market. And as I read it, now Google has to open up these APIs to have a fair market on Android assistance or assistance on Android phones. And here's the source comfy Open Home Foundation, a big win for Android interoperability. We've talked about a lot of Android certified devices and what does it mean in the Android ecosystem. Now we go a bit the other direction from non-Android certified devices and ecosystem. there I want to show you the kind of old kit in the town. So previously we talked about the Google mobile services, and that provides some special features app developer need on their phones. One of that is push notifications. And on non-Android certified devices, you have not GMS. And there you can use another mechanism, and this is called, or this project is called Unified Push. And as I see it, it is a very live and used project, and I've seen, and since last year, as with all the changes Google did to Android, increased interest in these replacements that can replace Google mobile services. And here I've linked two talks about Unified Push, Push Benachrichtigung Dezentral Open Source, just yesterday at here at Foscon, and also a talk at FOSDEM this year, Unified Push, Push Notifications Decentralized and Open Source. This is the old kit in town. Now we have a new kit in town. The new kit in town is Unified Attestation, or a project called Unified Attestation. I talked about push notifications as a service from Google Mobile Services, but I also talked about Play Integrity, where an app developer can check inside the app if they run on a genuine valid device needed by some of banking and wallet apps. And to have also a non-Google competitor, there was a proposal by Voila Systems with Azure, with other custom WOM manufacturers or other phone manufacturers this year in March, called Unified Attestation. I've linked the homepage, Unified Attestation. I also found a good slide deck from Voila Systems. I've also linked here. And this is something kind of required and needed to have something else than Google Play in Integrity. I've not much looked into the technical details. Just want to point out that there's a dispute with the GrapheneOS developers about the architecture or the implementation. I've linked the sources here, because GrapheneOS wants a different architecture that is called hardware attestation, as opposed to the proposed architecture by Unified Attestation, but details are behind the links. This was announced in March. I have looked at the Git repositories since then, and yeah, there's no much activity in the source code repositories of that proposal. And also in the news tickers I follow, I've also seen no further news about this project. So it was announced in March, and since then, nothing much happened. And additional resources from Heise I also linked above. So yeah, really check out these slides. Now we are at the end of my talk. Yeah, there's no silver bullet I could present to you. But yeah, hopefully you got a good overview of what is going on in the ecosystem. And maybe one thing I noticed that a lot of these changing are based on legal actions or from companies, for example, Epic versus Google, or from states. So the regulation I mentioned, Google is calling that they need to implement Android developer verification, or the thing about the DMA, where Google is forced to open up APIs. So there we have seen a lot of these. Yeah, changes based on changes to openness based on legal actions. And with that, I'm at the end of my talk. Now it's time for questions, answers, and discussion. either now here in the call or in the talk, or later in the hallway. I have cookies, so if we will discuss in the hallway, you will get cookies. And that, thank you.
So we already have some questions.
Thank you very much. Two questions about advanced flow. So the first one, did I get you right that the 24-hour delay is phone-wide setting and not per app that you are going to install?
As far as I know, this is by phone.
So once you have enabled it, you can install as many applications as you want.
Yes, and there will be two options. So
For a week or forever.
For a week or forever, yes. Okay. And this is by phone, yes.
Yeah, and the second one is, in your opinion, is that an adequate protection measure, or would there be something that is less strict? I mean, there's Google Play Protect and I guess a bunch of other mechanisms that Google has involved that they could use instead of this.
Good question. Difficult answer, I do not know. I've not so much dived into... this is maybe a bit of the problem, that everything is a bit of vague. Why they're doing it, what they're based on, or showing numbers, so really numbers, how much people are affected by malware on Android. I have no really seen a study on that. For example, what I see in Germany is that most people are tricked by phone calls, not by malicious apps. But that is my view here in Germany. Maybe this is different in other countries. But again, I've not seen a big study on that, if this really helps or help not. Or at least it should help, but if it's worth the trade-off about end user access to their devices and control over their devices, because as keep Android open says, your device will be your bought device will be locked by hardware manufacturers or Google retroactively after you have bought it. Yeah, and this is trade-off between privacy and usability. But yeah, the numbers studies are lacking, at least for me. I have not seen them.
So, Stefan, thank you very much for this report. I'm a network engineer and I have some developer questions, because I'm looking for a not really open source project, because this is controlled by Google because of the application of the device and everything you do. Do you see some change to go back or get less for open, or is it kind of redefinition of Android open source project? And what about the developer verification? For what? Because security or redesign your strategy? I don't know. What do you think?
So the first question was about hackiness of ASP. Should I start hacking on ASP, or was it... last year there was kind of the fear that Google will shut down the open source project forever. But as you've seen, this does not happen. So maybe quite drastic. My opinion, it changed a bit in this direction, mostly, I think, because of cost cutting, nearly because of intent. I have no crystal ball, but yeah, I'm still an AOSP platform developer. I will not give that up in the next 5 years, I think. So at least some things we can work on an AOSP open source project. Yeah. So this was not a good answer, but yeah, okay. Yeah, repeat.
Later or is this the same?
So do you ask, why does Google do this? They say for user safety. So Google has a high interest in having a secure ecosystem so that end users trust their devices or trust their Android devices. So only if they trust the devices and install apps and fearlessly and use the apps fearlessly and pay with their apps fearlessly, then they get revenue. So they have really an incentive to have a secure ecosystem that is used by a lot of people, and this means it must be kind of trusted by the people using it. Google does a lot of things to make things secure. For example, Play Protect. One thing that was mentioned is a kind of a scanner that scans for malware on your phone. Also, a lot of the changes Google is doing, for example, to the UI or the permission system is of increasing the trust in your device. So for example, forbidding every application to access your phone, your microphone or camera, and all these things. Or Google is introducing Rust into the AOSP system, and they have a study showing that there are less security issues in new Rust code. So they do a lot of things to have a secure ecosystem. And entity verification can be seen as another step to have a secure ecosystem that can be trusted by end user devices. Other people say it's a lockdown of users that can do what with their devices what they want. So loss of accessibility. Not accessibility, but freedom of your device. Yeah.
Thanks for the talk. Mm-hmm. My question is mostly about practicality in terms of using something like Verity or verification.
Do you mean hardware attestation or DM Verity as secure boot?
Kind of in that direction. Okay. I can't get it together very clearly. Mostly from the macroscopic level, looking at medical apps from health insurance or banking apps and so on.
Yeah.
Like me personally, I'm like a hardliner in the terms of I won't buy an Android device that I can't, reflash at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But there's
okay, yeah.
There's always this kind of trade-off. I feel that when you have your device, Android device specifically, that mm-hmm. you can reflash, you are going to get rid of the normal user experience installing all these apps.
Yeah.
I think on one of the last slides, you went into that with what is it, open attestation or something?
Unified attestation.
Right.
It's a new kit.
Right. And my question would be, like, do you have any kind of ideas on which kind of custom firmware, hardware manufacturers like Fairphone, EOS or something that are probably going to give you a normal experience, but, not being bound to buy a new phone in 2 years and basically bug off?
If you have your phone and want to flash custom ROM, you have not an Android certified device anymore. So Google Play Protect or Google Play Integrity doesn't work. So maybe your banking app will say, no, this device is not trusted. I will not run on that device. I will not do your banking on that device. To have the same experience on these custom ROMs, for example, if you have a custom ROM from Graphene OS, unified attestation or the other concept hardware attestation could be a solution if it's adopted by all players. So adopted by the app developers, so your bank then checks for either Google Play Integrity or checks for the hardware attestation or unified attestation. So it's really all players in the ecosystem must agree on then, okay, the banking app checks, so if this device is genuine, and then they say, okay, yes, because I trust the unified attestation group consortium, and then they will run again. So if you want to have the same experience, we need to have this either pushed by some governance or legal to have an alternative system to Google Play Protect, or the companies itself have to consolidate on that. And this, we will see.
I've been wondering what reason Google has to keep the system open at all. Why are they keeping, what is the relationship here, and what power does the open world sort of even have? Or could they just shut it down at some point? Do you have some information or thoughts on that?
So I have no information, just my experience with Android and the ecosystem. So there's of kinds of one thing is the personal interest. I think a lot of Google engineers. So the Android AOSP code itself, I really love that code. This is a very good operating system I have seen, and the code is very good. And so the Android engineers itself are maybe the same kind of person as we are. So also the Android culture is a bit of the open culture. So yeah, we want to be an open operating system and want to have third-party app stores and also develop some parts in open as compared to iOS. And now the question is, will Google drop at some point the openness of AOSP at all? I would say no, because in the early days, why was Android open in the early days? Because of strategy. In the early days, Google or Android was not in the phone market at all. So they wanted to go into the phone market, and being open source in the first days was a convincing point for the Android phone manufacturer. So here we develop the operating system for you. You only have to put some drivers on it. Take our code. And if you do not like what we do, it's open source and you can go away and build your own phone upon them. But in the first place, this was a measure to get a lot of on board, because the open sourceness reduced the risk of the phone manufacturers. And then Google kept on doing good stuff, and now they have the phone market. So open source can also be a strategic thing and to have. And as I see here for AOS, here I see the same strategic pattern. Because currently in the automotive world, the car manufacturers have all their custom and proprietary implementations of this. And now Google is going forward and saying, here, it's open source. You just have to adapt it. You can take it for nearly free. But yeah, then you run on our code and our infrastructure, and maybe you want to also have Google Play Store and Gmail on your cars. Yeah. So maybe this is the strategic thing apart from the ideology thing. So answer the question, will be AOSP not open source in the next 5 years? I don't think so. Yeah, because it still has some value.
So 3 minutes are left. Maybe two questions are still open.
Really happy to hear about the new alternatives to integrity here. Mm-hmm. And I think we should put two slides you had together. You talked about one lawsuit where Google was forced to open a few APIs. Mm-hmm. And I think this would be a good approach to go about the attestation thing, because that is also a closed API by Google right now. So perhaps that would be an approach to solve that problem.
There's a technical difference. there's a technical difference. Google Play Integrity is part of Google Mobile Services, and Google Mobile Services is part of the closed source that only be put on Android certified devices. These APIs we talk about here are APIs that are in the operating system, not in the closed source part. So it's a technical difference, but nevertheless, having some kind of fair market could be nevertheless a good a thing legal entities or governance can push for based on these laws.
Do the openness values still count? They have the market now, they have the manufacturers, they can push the source code to at relatively cheap cost. So they are closing things down. They don't actually care about the end users anymore. Do they really have that argument anymore?
You say they are not caring about end users?
Yes, but the number of your end users, of course they care, but they don't care about the end users, whether they actually like openness or not.
That is
short answer, please.
Short answer. Google still cares a lot about the ecosystem and the because they get a lot of revenue about that. But we've seen the trend. Google is more moving into the iOS wallet garden for app developers.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for the insights and the little history of Android. And thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.